5 days after our return to the base, the Slow Division took part in a new type of mine-laying operation near our own coast, while the Fast Division headed southwards to carry out the first M mine stunt in Belgian waters near Zeebrugge. Our new stunt was known as a WP operation and consisted of laying deeply moored mines alongside our East Coast war channel with the object of catching unwary German submarines. In this work, we were operating in company with two large permanent mine layers, Wahin and Paris. On the evening of August 7th, we left the basin and anchored in the stream off Grimsby. Next morning, the large, dazzle-painted hulls of the two liners' turned mine layers could be seen emerging from the river mist. In a short time, we had closed them and taken station on the starboard bow of Wahin. Only ourselves and Ferret were left in the Slow Division, Legion being still in dockyard hands for a boiler clean. So we borrowed a couple of TBs from the 7th Flotilla to complete the escort, over which we and Sandfly were very consciously in command. On the bridge, the skipper gave orders to keep a good lookout for periscopes. "You stand over there on the port side, Snotty, and keep your eyes skinned." Above the bridge house, a lookout was audibly humming a tune and gazing into the light mist that was now rapidly clearing. Patches of blue sky appeared overhead, and the surface of the sea danced gently to the movement of short, steep wavelets raised by the light northwesterly breeze. As we approach Severn Point, the deeper swell of the sea, joining the high-stepping action of the river waves, tossed up multitudinous white caps which glistened in the morning sunlight. On our port quarter, the two mine layers stood out sharply in harsh lines of their dazzle painting. A good target for a submarine whose periscope could be concealed in the sparkle of the confused waters to the eastward. Over on our starboard bow, the sea was alive with floating wreckage, where a timber ship out from Norway had been torpedoed and sunk a day or two before. Planks by the hundred mingled with other flotsam, where the rising and falling to the motion of the swell, and, by way of comic relief, an office chair swinging to and fro in rhythmic idleness. Up top, the lookout, who had started to beat an irritating as an accompaniment to his song, stopped short in the middle of a bar, bearing red 20, sir, object like a periscope. In a moment, the skipper was at the bridge rail, while the sub moved over to stand by the alarm gongs. But the only object to be seen was our old friend, the large, spherical, red-and-white striped buoy marking the outer end of the river channel, where it floated placidly like an immense Christmas balloon. Turning northwards along the East Coast war channel, we soon left Spurn Point astern, and then passed by one of the small red war channel buoys with their distinguishing letters, F, L, A, M, B, O, R, O, U, G, H. They spelt out as we approached Flamborough Head. A short time later, we altered course, 8 points by compass pennant, keeping station on Wahin, the manoeuvre being executed by a highly delighted Snotty. In a few minutes from seeing the signal hoisted, we had increased speed and were sweeping round on the long outer arc. On completing the evolution, Wahin and Paris laid their mines, and before long we turned homewards and reached Immingham in time for tea.